Miff Warhurst.
Weekdays on ABC Radio, online and on the ABC Listen app.
Come on, everybody, it's 6 o'clock.
Before there was Triple J, Rage, or even Countdown, can you believe it? There was another show, 6 o'clock Rock, the ABC's very first youth-oriented music program. Revolutionary, controversial, no doubt. And that was Johnny O'Keefe singing its theme song. Johnny O'Keefe, what a legend. It turned 60 this year, and I have to say, look, I had no idea it even existed. I'd heard of it, but I've never seen it, and I've never heard anything from it. So to bring it to life for us today is Andreas Anderson from ABC Archives, who's been digging around, as he does dutifully, for us whenever we want to find out about something that's historical with the ABC. Welcome, Andreas.
Oh, thank you.
So great to have you back. How and why did the program come about? 6 o'clock Rock.
Well, it was an attempt by the ABC to reach a younger audience. I mean, rock and roll was highly popular at the time. This was started in 1959. And they modeled the program on BBC's first rock and roll program, which was called the 6-5 Special, which had just started airing the year before. And just like the 6-5 special, so 6-5 refers to the time of the day, so just like 6 o'clock rock, it was broadcasted 6:05. It was 1 hour of live music.
Live?
Live music, one act after the... It's pretty much nothing, but there's one act after the other just performing. And so the ABC, of course, wanted to cash in on this, this popularity of rock and roll. But it was seen as going a bit too far to just have a rock and roll, a full program with just rock and roll music. So at the beginning, there was a lot of jazz, there was a lot of folk. It was a bit too risky to go full rock and roll.
Straight to rock and roll. All right, that's amazing. We've got some audio here. This is Johnny O'Keefe, who was the first host of the program, is that right?
He wasn't the first host. He was with the program from the beginning. He led the resident band, the DJs.
Oh, yes. And
the first host, Ricky Merriman, she became the host because she had an American accent. She had been to the US and studied, which was, you know, that was
a popular
attribute at the time.
That is fantastic.
But then about 6 weeks in, Johnny O'Keefe took over, and that really launched. He wasn't that famous at the time. He was 24 years old, and this was really launched his career. And yes, here he is describing what it was like to do the show.
I started my television career with the ABC, with 6 o'clock Rock, which in its day was the equivalent of Countdown. Although we didn't have film clips and all that sort of stuff, everything was done live. But it was a very exciting show. We used to rehearse at St. Peter's Hall in Forbes Street in Sydney on a Saturday morning. Nobody knew. I'd pick the artists along with Peter Page, and nobody knew what anyone was going to sing, and I'd say, "Hell, here's what they're playing on the charts, here's what's on the top 40. You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this." And we'd rehearse it. We'd have no arrangements. We'd put 500 kids in the studio. Peter would go up to the control room. He was director also. And I'd be there, and I'd be conducting the band, being the compere, singing the song and organising all the acts. And we went to air live, and no one really knew what was going to happen. It was just keep your fingers crossed and let's hope it works. We're all a bundle of nerves at the end of the show, and Peter would come down from the studio and he said, "Good one, Rocker, let's go to the toilet." And we'd go to the toilet and we'd both be sick because we were so nervous. It was just unbelievable.
Oh, poor Johnny O'Keefe there. That was his voice, of course, talking about feeling sick when recording live. The program was 6 o'clock Rock. It ran on the ABC on the telly. Andreas Anderson has been digging around the archives for us. How was the show different from other music programs at the time? I mean, you said there weren't many at the time, but
there were a few, yeah.
Okay.
And the format was similar to other programs, but it was really Johnny that was the different maker who made it more raw and brash because he had such a great personality. People keep coming back to saying that his voice wasn't the best, but that didn't matter because he was so charming and so enthusiastic. And
what was wrong with his voice? Do you remember? Do you remember what people were saying?
Or? No, not at all. I mean, me listening to it. Yeah, yeah. I think it sounds all right. But yeah, but that's not
maybe
what
he wasn't
made
very
him
ABC at the time. And you know, maybe everyone spoke properly. And
it was a very different ABC, very conservative. But he does feel very genuine and honest. Seeing him hosting the program, he, you know, he has his hands in his pockets. He's scratching his neck. Yeah. He's fumbling. He gets names wrong, which I guess is something that the audience liked. And at the time, there was another rock and roll program, which was the big rival on Channel 9, called Bandstand. And this was hosted by Brian Henderson, who was later became news presenter, who wasn't much older than Johnny, but he. He behaves like he is. He has glasses and a necktie, and he's more correct,
much more serious.
And Bandstand was on just the hour before 6 o'clock rock. So they went to 5 p.m. on Saturdays, and then you had a 6 o'clock rock at 6 p.m. And apparently, the rivalry was so heated between these two programs that artists that appeared on Bandstand that day weren't allowed to play on 6 o'clock rock that same Saturday.
Wow, I'm pretty sure that stuff still happens today through various media outlets, but it's fascinating to hear where it all began. We've got some audio now of Peter Page, this from 1998. Now, Peter Page was mentioned before. Can you introduce this bit of audio?
Well, there are really two names that are synonymous with 6 o'clock rock. Johnny O'Keefe is one and Peter Page is the other because he was the lone producer. And here he is with his wife recalling the production.
I've only seen the one copy of a telerecording that seems to be available. I think Johnny, his family, have one which he took to America with him. That may be a slightly better one, but the one I've seen is the production standards are woeful, you know, but it just didn't seem to matter in those days. I mean, it was the beginning of television, and you know, people accepted it for what it was, and of course
it was so different. It was raw, wasn't it?
Oh yes, it was a live show, and we tried to make it as brash and as rude and as whatever we could to sort of counteract the Bandstand image, which was our rival in those days. Even our kids didn't dress the same as Bandstand. Bandstand, you had to wear a tie and a collar and you know, be respectable, but our kids. T-shirts and that. We softened that a bit later on because we got, after the first show, which sort of hit television with a bang, I don't know.
Telephone calls.
Never realised that in those days that it would, but, you know, of course we had all our ABC radio listeners switching over to television and they couldn't understand. They thought the ABC had gone mad, absolutely mad with this, this programme, but One show I remember, never forgot. There were two shows, really. One was the cameras were glinting and going all fuzzy, and I said to the cameraman, what's happening? Is there something wrong down there? And it was the firemen. They'd come in with their brass helmets on, which wasn't good with a black and white camera in those days, and they were glinting and glaring, and the uni students of the day had their commem day on that particular Saturday, and they'd come in and set fire to the cyclorama. And we were on air, and there was smoke pouring out everywhere. I thought the sprinkles would go, that'll be the worst thing, but they didn't. The firemen put it out while we were on air, so that was another day, another commem day. I think it was the following year. The students got in, I don't know how, got tickets, and they let out boxes and boxes of mice. And of course, all the girls were on the floor dancing away, and there's mice running everywhere
and
screaming and yelling. But we calmed them down and went on. But there was nothing you could do. We were live, and that was part of the show.
Oh, the wacky capers there that went down on set of 6 o'clock rock, and maybe not so wacky. There was fire involved as well. That was Peter Page, the producer, talking about the production and some of the funny things that happened. They were obviously feeling their way when it came to making television and having a lot of fun doing it. Andreas, who were the artists that performed on the show, local artists that got picked?
Well, yeah, it was a mix of famous artists and local artists. There were some big names, acts that were touring Australia, like Cliff Richard, Johnny Devlin, many Asian singers, and some big Australian names. But yeah, there was a lot of focus on local artists, which makes it interesting, I find. They had monthly auditions for a segment called First Appearance, and where Johnny, who knew a lot of people in the business, could suggest who could come in and audition, and then Peter Page usually then decided who could come in, and people wrote letters trying to, you know, get on the show, and then they selected artists. They were apparently paid £3 for this appearance on television.
Don't spend it all at once. Although maybe that would have been a lot in those days.
I try to find out. I think it's the equivalent of $100 today. Oh. So still.
Oh, bless. How was it recorded? Was it just, it was live, obviously?
It was live. They on the Monday and Tuesday of the week, they met to pick the artists for the Saturday show, got in contact with them, decided on a song that this artist could play. And then they met on the Saturday morning to rehearse, and then they met again at 3 p.m. On the Saturday afternoon to rehearse in the studio. So these were new studios. So this was just 3 years into television in Australia,
and
this was in the Gore Hill studios, which were newly built. So television started in 1956, and it took a few years for them to build these studios. So the first few years, television was really just recorded in former radio studios. And then they built the big one, and that was ready to be used in 1958. So this was really one of the first productions where they could use this big studio.
That's fantastic. How popular was 6 o'clock Rock?
It had a good rating, and it was mainly the teenagers who made it popular. They wanted rock and roll, and that's what pushed the jazz element out of 6 o'clock Rock. Eventually, they focused just on rock and roll. You had the tickets were booked out 6 months in advance to get a ticket to get on the show as an audience, and still many people managed to get these tickets. God knows how, to be on every single week. You wanted to be seen. You wanted to be seen. Not didn't just want to be in the program. You wanted to be in front of the camera dancing.
Oh, yeah, of course. Andreas Anderson is with us, and he's from ABC Archives. He's got the best job. He gets to dig around and dust off the files and move the cobwebs away to find us lots of really interesting audio from ABC programs from the past. 6 o'clock Rock is the show we're talking about, hosted by Johnny O'Keefe. Johnny O'Keefe, though, left the show to start something else on a rival channel, Channel 7. This must have been so controversial. Sing, Sing, Sing. Let's hear him talking about leaving the show now.
I started Sing, Sing, Sing after I left the ABC. I wanted 6 o'clock Rock to have a large orchestra. I wanted the ABC dance band as well as the rock group. Mr. Moses said at the time, well, you can't have them because they're a sound facility and they're not available for TV, for video. Nowadays, it's different. The ABC's got different principles. But in those days, they said, well, you can't have the ABC dance band every week. I said, well, if I can't have that, I said, I don't want to do the show. So I left. Gave them 3 months' notice and left. There are a few heated words, and I suppose they were glad to get rid of me. I never really know. I've never been told.
Oh, I didn't know about that. The ABC dance band not for hire every single week in order to run a high-rating program like 6 o'clock Rock seems a bit mean, doesn't it?
Mm.
What happened to the show once he left?
Well, it continued not for very long, for about 6 months or so. They brought in a new host who was Tanya Helsworth, which was from the ABC, which meant that she was cheaper. She was already working with the ABC. She was a former school teacher and not as relaxed in front of the camera as Johnny was. And that really spelled the end of the program.
Yeah. Johnny O'Keefe was in a bad car accident at the time of the show as well. Did this have an effect on things?
I believe it did. So in June of 1960, 25 years old, he had a really bad car accident driving down the East Coast and required extensional facial surgery.
Oh.
And he was back with 6 o'clock Rock within a month. I think the incident affected him and his life more than he realized. He didn't slow down. He continued to. He was touring and he was recording at the same time as he was hosting this program as well. And still very young, he started having mental issues, breakdowns that would continue and follow him throughout his career.
How did a nervous breakdown happen? How did it manifest?
Well, it happened in the first one that I had happened in England 9 months, I beg your pardon, after I had a rather serious car accident when my face was all remodeled. I understand that I had some brain damage, and when I was in England, I started thinking that I was dead, and it became more and more and more that actually while I was walking around, this feeling of being dead and having been in a state of purgatory for the previous 9 months.
Was it because you were in a new place, you weren't known,
I would think so. I passed out one night and the fellas from Scotland Yard came round and accused me of trying to commit suicide, a couple of young blacks, and I said, I didn't commit suicide, I'm already dead. And they put me in a Tootingbeck mental asylum and I escaped and I finished up going back then and I came back to Australia, left the ABC and started in commercial television.
Gee, that's really, really dark stuff, isn't it? Johnny O'Keefe there talking about his nervous breakdown.
And he was never shy about talking about it either. He did a lot, I'd say, for lifting the taboo of mental problems and, yeah, especially for men maybe.
Oh, poor fella. I didn't know about any of that. I didn't know the extent of it. 6 o'clock Rock is the TV show we're talking about. It was on the ABC. It was hosted by Johnny O'Keefe. Andreas Anderson, thank you so much for coming in today and dusting off the, what do you call them, audio files? Or what do you call the library there? What is it full of?
It's full of tapes.
Tapes?
Usually.
Yeah.
It's a lot of magnetic tapes, lot of, well, in this case, film, 60mm film.
Yep. Brilliant. I still have to, haven't made my way there. I'm going to have to get there very, very soon. But we'll go out on a clip. This is from a 6 o'clock Rock episode. Is this significant in any way?
No, Johnny O'Keefe at the peak of his career.
Great. What a perfect way to end it. Thank you so much. Andreas Anderson from ABC Archive.
Well, I'm going to wash your tears away. Well, I'm really going to do it today. Yeah, the blues have gone and they be on your loving way. Because I feel comfort in my heart. Yeah, yeah, in my heart. In my heart, will I feel comfort in my heart, in my heart,
in my heart,
in my heart,
in my heart,
will I feel comfort in my heart? Well, now let's wash your tears aside.
Miff Warhurst.
Weekdays on ABC Radio, online and on the ABC Listen app.